Welcome to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Join us for an in-depth look at Iowa agriculture. Here's your host, Mark Magnuson.
Hello and welcome to Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. In today's episode, Riley Smith will speak with Matt Chambers and Brooke Blessington at the Landis Innovation Connector. Dustin Huffman visits with the team at Seminis Vegetable Seeds as he learns about new crop protection options available in sweet corn hybrids. And Russ Parker provides his faith-based segment. Before we begin today's show, I would like to tell you you can listen to this episode and all of our episodes of Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network podcast page. On our website, you can also find market coverage at any time under the Markets tab of our main page. In addition, you can listen to our three times daily market podcast, which cover opening, midday, and closing markets. Let's turn things over now to Russ Parker for his faith-based segment here on Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This has been a week of looking inward and self-examination. I came across a poem by Dale Winbrow called The Man in the Mirror, and it goes like this. When you get all you want and you struggle for pelf and the world makes you king for a day, then go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your mother, your father, or wife whose judgment upon you must pass, but the man whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. He's a fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you right to the end. And you've passed the most difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may be like Jack Horner and chisel a plum and think you're a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. You can fool the whole world down the highway of years and take pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be the heartache and tears if you've cheated that man in the glass. Reflections are an interesting thing, and I always get a kick out of witnessing a small child seeing the reflection for the first time and figuring out who that little kid is looking back at them. Or seeing the cat jump in surprise when they see the reflection in the mirror, or the dog barking defiantly at that other dog who has invaded their territory. And as humans, we have brains that can comprehend reflection, and we at least have a higher degree of knowledge of what it is. And when it comes to understanding reflection, we also know that the word has an additional meaning that does not necessarily involve sight, but rather serious thought and consideration of something that has taken place or otherwise impacted us in some way. And this reflection of thought can especially happen while we're looking at ourselves, seeing that person in the mirror looking back at us, and questions like, who am I? Why do I behave the way I do? How do other people see me? Are questions that I suspect you share as well. And my mind goes back to the poem from maybe a different perspective and question, how is Christ reflected in me? Do the eyes that are looking back at me show Christ to others? And as we ponder this, perhaps what Paul said to the Corinthians in his second letter will provide some insight. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Food for thought, I hope. This is Russ Parker. Have a blessed day.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters. Here's Riley Smith.
I had the pleasure of being able to visit the Landis Innovation Connector this past week here in Des Moines. Of course, Landis hosting that event for the media to check out the Innovation Connector, see what the latest improvements are and what they have for technology. And I had the chance to visit with a couple of the people there. First up is Matt Chambers. He's one of the board chairmen for Landis.
We are here with Matt Chambers. He is on he's a chairman on the board of Landis. And first off, Matt, just tell us a little bit about your position and what it's like to be in that situation with Landis, because obviously a lot of exciting things going on here.
Yeah, I love being part of the board. We have a great board. I've been a board member for just a little over 3 years, board chair for just over a year. You know, we get thrown a lot of exciting things, and the meetings are never dull. It's just great to be at the forefront of such interesting, innovative technologies, and we're changing out agriculture. You know, we maybe don't know it when we're sitting in a boardroom so much as, but when we do events like this or the connector events that we're having last week and this week, you see farmers interact with what we are creating. It really makes you realize that ag is changing fast and we're going to be right in front of it.
And I think it's interesting too that not only is ag changing fast, but Landis has changed fast. I mean, talking with Matt earlier, he mentioned, you know, going from having meetings in the basement to coming out here to the Innovation Connector and having a whole, you know, high-tech facility dedicated to this. There's been a lot of change.
It's changing every day. I mean, we always joke in the boardroom, you know, we'll be talking, discussing things and different topics, and Matt will get an email and he'll say, oh, well, just a second, just got an email, and the direction will change like that quick, and we'll have a new direction to go. And that's the way agriculture is. You know, I sometimes make a reference to my younger brother that I farm with. He's 12 years younger than me. Doesn't seem like a lot now, when, you know, he's his mid-30s and I'm my maybe upper 40s. But when we talk about what we have each seen in agriculture, it is a big difference. You know, there's so many things that he has never done in our farming operation that I grew up doing. So, and it's a good symbol to know how fast this changes, that, you know, 12 years is a big difference in agriculture. And yeah.
So, you know, let's go over some of the things we talked about today through this media event. Obviously, a lot of new technology being on board here at Landis. Big topic was Talus and just having, you know, innovations like that, you know, obviously green ammonia, other sustainable practices, adding more technology to the farm. You know, that's, of course, at the core here at Landis, and it's exciting to see those things kind of come to fruition because, you know, just a few years ago, you know, you mentioned 12 years being a long time in agriculture. Just a few years ago, we were talking about, oh, maybe these things will happen, and now here they are.
Yeah, here they are, right in front of us. And, you know, the great thing with Talus, and, you know, we talked about Tesseract, which is our data software company that they have created. They all go hand in hand. You know, you can't do one without the other piece. You know, in order to benefit from the sustainability side of green ammonia, you have to have the data on the backside of it, and you have to have that data, you know, correct, verified, and easily pushed forward to get the true benefit of this sustainable, anything sustainable in agriculture. But this Talus green ammonia is going to play a huge part in that. You know, so it's interesting to see how all the pieces of the puzzle, you know, really do just fit together so well. Everything that you'll see in the connector is, they all fit together some way or another. They're all bound together by innovation and, you know, farmers' need for it. You know, there's nothing up there that you would see that a farmer hasn't asked for or wouldn't want, you know. And that's where Landis is doing a great job of sorting through. You know, there's a lot of innovating companies around, but, you know, does it fit our farmers? Does it fit, you know, Iowa agriculture or Illinois agriculture? And so Landis does a good job of finding companies like Talus. I mean, this fits every farmer in the Midwest. You know, cheap, reliable, sustainable ammonia is a huge ticket here.
And, you know, access and usability being such a huge thing. I know you guys were talking on that as well because, and, you know, like you just said, we can have all these innovations, all this data out there for farmers to use, but if it's not available and it's not usable, then it's not a solution, right?
It is not a solution. It's just another headache. I was speaking at a meeting several years ago about ag software, and ag software has been all over the board. You know, a lot of companies have tried it. We know a lot of the big names it was brought up, you know, the farmer gets overwhelmed with ag software. You know, we you know, most of us are still running the tractors. We are still driving the trucks. We are still doing the day-to-day field operations along with trying to analyze the data, sort through everything, you know, and I don't need a more time-consuming, software or technology or stuff that isn't going to help my farm. So, you know, to be able to sort through that, find something that's usable, user-friendly, doesn't require a lot of time, you know, that's where this thing needs to go. And I think with the Tesseract, the synthesis system, we get there.
All right, lots of great information today, Matt. Anything else that our viewers and listeners should know about when it comes to the exciting things that are happening here at Landis?
Yeah. You know, if you haven't heard of Landis yet, then I encourage you to look us up. You know, look at the things we've been doing. Look at the direction we're going. You know, the CEO, Matt Carson's, often says this is not your grandfather's co-op. I always like to correct him, because in a way it's more our grandfather's co-op than what he gives us credit for, because we are doing it farmer first. I mean, there's nothing that gets done in this this office or the boardroom or anywhere that isn't farmer focused, because that's who owns us. You know, I own part of this company and as well as 55 other farmers, and so we have to keep it farmer focused. But I encourage you, you know, if you haven't signed up for a Connector event in the past, get down here to Des Moines. It's a great experience and a lot of great technology.
And that again was Matt Chambers, one of the chairmen on the board for Landis, and thanks again to him for visiting with us. Also had the chance to visit with Brooke Blessington. She's the Innovation Hub Director with Landworks, and of course that Innovation Connector, hosting events throughout the year to bring technology together, show it off for farmers, and also kind of get all of those minds into the same room. We had the chance to visit about those Innovation Connector events and just get a preview of what to expect for this year.
Tell us a little bit about how those Innovation Connector events have been going on, and just what are some of the great things you've seen so far?
Okay, excellent. So happy to be here and glad to welcome you to Landis and the Innovation Connector. The Innovation Connectors, the events themselves are really an opportunity for farmers and stakeholders of Landis to get in the front doors and have some really great conversations with leadership, with the people who are out there making changes for the agricultural community and engaged with what we see as the leading edge solutions for the ag, for ag as an industry.
I think it's so cool to get all of that into one room in the facility, not just for, you know, farmers to come in and see what's going on there, but once you get all those minds in the same room, you probably get a lot of ideas flowing just from that, right?
Absolutely. It's fantastic to be able to bring farmers in and show them, you know, what's coming, what's next in agriculture, along with some things that are already available. So that gives our partners in the Innovation Connector an opportunity to really refine whatever their solution is. They love having access to farmers, being able to pick their brains, and farmers love having that as well, just to be the expert for a moment and be able to help make impactful recommendations for what they are going to have on their farms. It's really a buzz of energy that's around the Innovation Connector in the weeks around the Connector events, but it's really something special to see those companies interact with each other as well. And so they're able to say, oh, if I have, you know, this sort of a sensor, how does that connect with your machine that goes through the fields? What types of opportunities do we have to maybe co-develop something? And we love that. That's just, it just is so wonderful and valuable for the farmers and our end users. And so to see that type of innovation and open concept just really converge here in Des Moines, and, you know, in Iowa's one of the biggest hearts of agriculture, it's really something special.
Yeah, great location for all of it. Just thinking about the events themselves, you know, when it first started off, I wouldn't quite call it humble, but not as quite as big as it was now. So let's talk about some of the changes that we've seen as this, you know, I think one of the things that's about the Innovation Connector is it continues to evolve with the technology that comes with it, right?
It does, and we're always on the hunt for more experiential experiences for farmers to get in. With the Tesseract Synthesis, they have an opportunity to literally put their hands on data, and that's not the only innovative solution that's on display. They can look and see and feel and touch and experience all of the pieces of what we see as agriculture going into in the future. And not only that, but we have hundreds of farmers that come each night, and so they're able to really immerse themselves in the conversation about agriculture and the way of life that we all value so much. And the Innovation Connector this year, we've got some really great partners. If you were here last week, you'll see some different ones even this week. And so we're always out on the hunt trying to bring people in. We've got some really cool things that are coming up in the August and September events as well. But just really curating that space to make sure that it's as impactful as possible. We want farmers to step in the front door and realize that they're somewhere different. You know, this is different than what you'd see other places. Last week, we had a partner that was in, and they said, you know, I just didn't know that this was here. I don't know of anything else in agriculture that exists quite like this, and we don't know of anything either, so we're really proud of that and proud to just keep pushing the boundary forward on that.
Now, nice to be in Des Moines as well, because it's kind of equidistant from really anywhere in the state. So for those farmers who would like to, you know, make the trip over and kind of see things, how they're going and everything, you mentioned the timelines on when these events are going on. And then just, you know, how do they get connected and how can they, you know, kind of keep up whether they're here or keeping track on, you know, say online?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the agendas and future plans for events through Landis are available on their website, landis.ag. The registration link is right there as well. Typically when the dates are set for a connector event, then that will be right on the homepage and you can click the link to register. Landis does a phenomenal job of just taking care of their farmers, so they'll help with logistics. It's just a really great evening to come in, see everything that's there, have some good conversations about the future of agriculture, the way that Landis leadership sees it right now. Get some good business updates and then just really great networking time. They feed you dinner. It's a really great night out for the farmers that choose to come, and we'd love to see more people at these events.
Thanks again to the folks at Landis for having me out there for that media day. Looking forward to hearing more from them throughout the year. And that is it for segment two of this week's show. When we come back, Dustin talks sweet corn with Semenis vegetable seeds. This is Weekend Ag Matters.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters. Here's your host, Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Hoffman. As we get ready to get those planters rolling here this spring, obviously corn is one of the things that we plant the most of here in Iowa, but also sweet corn shows up in a lot of operations. But usually we have to keep them somewhat separated because they are two very different crops. But how with Semenis by Bayer, they are telling us that we have sweet corn hybrids available that use the same crop protection techniques as field corn, making it easier for farmers to produce. We learn more right now.
Trinity Baker, he is marketing development representative, and Tim Clark's a sales representative for Semenis. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. And today we're going to start with you, Tim. We're getting ready to get planting going here in Iowa. Everybody's chomping at the bit. You know, only time I've heard us complain about getting rain right now in Iowa is when we're wanting to plant. And folks are thinking about those last minute plans, maybe some tweaks to their plan. Why would they want to include sweet corn into that plan for their operation this year?
Dustin, good to be here. You know, we're excited to be a part of the conversation when it comes to farmers going direct and or providing something value added to their community. And right now, that's sweet corn. It's an important crop to us. And we know that corn and soybeans are a really important crop in Iowa. And we're excited to be leading a lot of the technology that makes it very convenient and easy for growers to include sweet corn as part of their crop plan. Now, even with modern planting equipment and a bunch of the agronomic tools that we are all adapting and using as we carve out 2024 crop, sweet corn is right there. We have a full team of dedicated professionals who are working to enhance not only the various agronomic pieces that come to growing the crop, but also what you're enjoying when you sit down with your friends and family and enjoy sweet corn in August and September later this year. And sweet corn needs to be a part of the crop plan. If you want to have something you can bring to the kitchen table, to the end of your driveway, or into any of the communities for various events later this summer. So now is the time to really put in some plans and source some seed from a local trusted supplier that you work with to get this a part of your crop plan.
All right. So when we think of sweet corn and field corn, obviously that's a discussion that we have a lot of times in agriculture with our friends that are the consumers, because there's a lot of misunderstanding that they are not the same thing. And so obviously, though, when we've been raising it for years, we've been tending to make sure they're separate from each other and away from each other in the fields. But now with Semenis is kind of bringing us the ability to have them close together, be able to use the same crop protection products on sweet corn as we are using on field corn, which makes it easier in the long run for farmers to be able to figure out how they're going to protect both those crops if that's the way they choose to go. And maybe Trinity, you can speak a little bit to how those two can thrive together in your fields.
Yeah, so our performance series sweet corn has traits in it that allow us to plant right next to your field corn. So that kind of opens up, if you think about the Midwest, there's so many acres of field corn out there. And if you could, choose a sweet corn that also has that same trait protection, it really opens up and makes it more easy and more comfortable for your standard row crop farmers to get into the vegetable side using sweet corn.
All right, so we know for years, and farmers know this, but maybe not always our consumers, farmers that are growing sweet corn have always been very diligent about making sure that they follow the rules. It's not the same as field corn, that we haven't always treated it the same, and have been very careful about that. But now with these tools available and the ability available, you know, talk about a little bit of the innovation to make it work so we can use the same crop protection on our sweet corn to keep it safe yet for the consumers to eat, but also make it easier for us to treat corn as a whole, as a family of plants on our farming operations.
Yeah, so the same crop protection plan that you have for your field corn will be real similar to what you will do for sweet corn. There are some other things that we also suggest. A fungicide application is usually a pretty good thing to do with sweet corn if you're looking for that high quality, great tasting, stuff right out of the field.
Tim, I'm going to go back to you there on the sales side of it. If farmers are looking at how to fill that need that Trinity just talked about, maybe an acre or two here or there for their own consumption or for a niche market, as you would, what's a good determining factor these farmers can use to pick the right hybrids to use in that situation?
You bet. At Seminis, we've worked long and hard in multiple vegetable crops to bring the best genetics. Genetics on the sweet corn side that you may have heard of and definitely come to trust is Obsession or Anthem. 90-10, 90-12, 90-14. A lot of growers have some context of growing and or getting some sweet corn from the neighbor. Well, we're continuing to invest in more genetics, unique genetics that bring darker ear color. When you pull that husk back, just a very bright kernel, if you're looking at bicolor, at white or at yellow, just getting a very distinctive visual color that immediately grabs your attention. And then after preparation, new genetics that offer deeper kernel bite, sweeter flavor, better holding capacity. The technology and advancements when it comes to sweet corn are beyond yield. It really comes to enhancing the overall experience that you get once you take it out of the field and start presenting that in front of people.
All right, maybe to follow up on that then, Tim, as we look at what the hybrids have done to improve over time, what are growers looking for? You talked about a few of the things that are improving. What is really, are those the high points that the farmers really have been wanting to see in these newer hybrids?
It is, and I think trust is the big thing, right? When we move beyond growing traditional row crop corn and soybeans, when you start going into the sweet corn sector, you want to work with someone you can trust. Well, Seminis is that player, it's that provider, because we have a team of professionals who have been doing this and for decades been providing high quality sweet corn that just delivers, be it on your dinner plate for your family or at the end of the road or even in the community at a church festival. When it comes to connecting consumers with some of the products like sweet corn that we're growing on farm, you've got to find that provider. And we're a part of the piece, right? We work together with local other ag input providers and have done so for a long time to continue to bring newer genetics that continue to build that trust relationship all the way through the supply chain. And that would include, again, once we get it out of the field and get it presented to the end consumer.
All right. Well, where can growers find more information and maybe fill up a few last remaining acres or make some switches here this season?
You bet. One easy way, if you want to just do research to see all of the varieties that are available when it comes to Performance Series sweet corn, is a Google Performance Series Sweet Corn. It'll bring you right to our page. We'll give you the lowdown. We've got multiple maturities. We've got different kernel types, and all of which can play nicely into someone who's coming into the market or looking to expand the amount of sweet corn or the amount of time that they can commit to harvesting and bringing this fresh product to their local community. We work with suppliers from coast to coast. So chances are, if you are purchasing some of your crop inputs, be it at a cooperative or at a local distributor, ask if they carry Performance Series sweet corn. Chances are they already have the network and the distribution capabilities to bring it in for you. It never hurts, though, to, while you're sitting down with them, plan early, ask lots of good questions. We're here with our team supporting them and supporting you and helping bring more opportunity for customers to be, for growers really, to be a part of the conversation when it comes to producing locally grown produce.
That again was Tim Clark and Trinity Baker with Seminous Vegetables by Bayer. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode of Weekend Ag Matters. You can find all our content online at iowaagnet.com. For Riley Smith, Mark Magnuson, and Russ Parker, we thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Weekend Ag Matters.